I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
It's the Catakin. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Last night, the Cats lit up the scoreboard, taking down Georgia State 105-76. Today, we fell to Louisville, but we're not going to really get into that. Now, we're staring down a tough road test against Clemson on Tuesday. But hey, at least we didn't lose three straight in Maui. Fellas, how we feeling?
Good. I mean, the same as it's been the last few times. Like, I'm really excited to get to some games against some, you know, top two. This game was very interesting. A lot of stuff went on during it, but, you know, in the end, a 29-point win. Little closer than that most of the way through. Kind of ugly at times, you know, for a variety of reasons. They shot the ball well, but a win's a win. One of 19 teams still undefeated. Can't complain too much.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, the first half, I guess 75% probably, was kind of like, this is what happens when we aren't hitting threes like we normally do. I never really felt like we were in danger of losing the game at all, but still felt like we were humans a little bit more this game than we have been. That was until Clash Peters came and woke up the team. That was the pivotal point in the game in which we just were like, okay, we are way better than you. And proved it. And yeah, so for me, Amari was the star of the show last night. I mean, the threes were not falling. Would we go 27% ish?
Yeah, just a hair under.
Yeah, and they were over 50, and we still won by 29.
Yeah.
So no, really good all around.
So when you go 80% from two, though, that's what happens.
Yeah.
One of those sites that keeps track of like UK historical stat lines and records, whatever, said I think this was the highest 2-point field goal percentage UK's ever had, which is kind of crazy. I mean, that's not, I don't think, what any of us thought this team was going to be about. And so it's nice to see, especially on a night when the threes aren't falling, that they can do it that way too.
Well, that's what you want to see, right? Like, because I think the narrative around the team was like, hey, it's going to be a 3-point heavy team, but we're showing that, like, well, we're not a one trick pony here. Like, we'll beat you from the inside if we need to. It's good they didn't force it. Well, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Also, 82% free throw shooters. Shout out Amari Williams, most improved, 6-for-6.
Yes. Yeah, I was worried that the T, like, those TE foul shots were not going to hit, you know?
Yeah.
So he hit those two, and I was like, okay, he's feeling it. He's just swinging out there. And, yeah, it was fun. I mean,
and then he hit the two for the actual foul right after it?
Yep. Yeah, and then he was actually the one, I think, who kind of de-escalated the situation, because you could tell Kobe Brea was going to fight them.
Somebody better hold him back kind of deal, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he was very cool, collected, and you can tell that it kind of got him, I don't know, just kind of woke him up a little bit, and then, yeah.
Kerr was ready to go, too. Kerr was fired up. He was ready to
mix it up. Oh, Kerr was absolutely going to scrap. I don't care if he's the smallest dude in the bunch. He's going to scrap. And honestly, like, what it seemed like to me at that point, it was an 8-point game or something when it really popped off, something like that. It was like 10-50 something to go in the game. And I think I was telling Jared this before the show that, like, it's still five guys out there you got to score on. It's still scholarship players. And sometimes, like, you don't start a game up 20. You don't start a game up 10. Like, and it's a battle. And I think that it was a catalyst that was like, all right, we're about to whip that ass now. And they did. But it was kind of a sleepwalk before that. But they did you know, close it out. They were well over 30 for a bit there, I think. I think Georgia State ended on a 6-0 run. But, I mean, win's a win's a win. Scored 100 points yet again. I mean, you think it would stop with the exhibitions. It just hasn't.
And when the fight happens, one of two things can really happen from that, where you'll have, like, no matter what, the team's going to get worked up on both sides. Mm-hmm. And you're either going to have your guys play very emotional and they start forcing stuff and they start being determined, like, okay, we're going to beat him down. Or you can have the meme of, okay, now the guy's sitting up in his chair with the Xbox controller. And that's what it looked like. What happened was, like, okay, let's lock in. They all started playing together, much more cohesive. So I think with the slow start in this game and kind of the way that the Western game looked, I think that the only issue has just been motivation, which is interesting going into now their first real road test, you know, with seeing some animosity on the road from the crowd. That feels encouraging that now, like, when the chips are down, it looks like they're willing to play together, which is, it's a veteran team. So that's what you'd expect to see from them.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I think that, oh, go ahead.
So talking about sort of they improved Xbox sitting up. Now we're mm-hmm. playing. The last 10 minutes of the game was the most points we scored of any of the quarters and the fewest points allowed. So on both ends, really, I don't know if it was kind of like, all right, we're done with this. We don't want them to score. And obviously we want to just score as much as we can, but even with the missed shots at the end, probably not a whole lot of scoring in the last couple minutes for us. We had 30 points in the last 10 minutes. I think someone wow. said in the last 11 minutes, in an 11 minute span, we had 44 points.
That's
in there.
Incredible. And I actually think it's encouraging, just like, because, okay, Georgia State, you know, Jackson State, Lipscomb, like, it is what it is. But, like, you know, the Duke game, winning that game for this team feels a whole lot like, that type of stuff is just different when you get out there. The juice is there. You don't got to create your own energy. I think going on the road is going to actually be really – I think they're going to be crisp. I really do, because I think it'll lock it in a little bit sooner. You don't have to have, oh boy, you know, out here just hip checking underneath the basket to get you going. But
although I welcome it. I mean, it's worked 100% of the time so far.
True. You know, fair enough. I think that I honestly think they're going to come out sharp. I think they're going to have a really good 3-point shooting game against Clemson. We'll get into that. But I think that it's encouraging. You get winning in general is hard. 7-0. Couldn't do any better than that most game. What was the closest game to Duke, obviously, right? But the rest have been 19 points or more, essentially.
Yep.
Which is tough to nitpick most of that.
Yeah, I think that Otega away dunk, Jackson Robinson's just, like, you know, making the expression that went viral. And it was very fun to watch them. You could tell that they had a game plan, and it was very clinical. What are we going to work on this time? What skills are we going to try to hone in on? You know, and that becomes kind of a – I think it becomes kind of like a little bit of a drag, especially if you're a kid and you're just playing two games a week, and it's just like, okay, this is – what are we going to work on this week? What are we going to work on this week? And then it's like, oh, shit, we're playing basketball at Rupp. Dude just laid a lick on us. So let's just, you know, take it out on them. And
they flexed for sure.
Yeah. And that was fun. And I do think that bodes well for how we're going to react to, because Clemson is going to be a taste of it. And then we're going to have, you know, half of our SEC games are going to be in very raucous, very hostile environments. So I'm excited to watch people show out. I think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think they consider Gonzaga semi away, but it's there. You know, I mean, it's absolutely going to be an away game, just not in their home arena. So I think there it'll be. That'll be a real challenge too, because that's a tough team. They've looked pretty good. I think they dropped one, but generally have looked pretty good as well. So
I would venture to say Clemson's going to be as tough, in my opinion. I think Clemson's the one to worry about out of the two. Like, if you're going to be, I think Clemson's going to be really tough. I do.
They're right in that sweet spot of we could fall prey to we're supposed to beat this team. And Clemson is good enough to beat us if they
Depends
catch
on who
us.
you ask, yeah.
You know, it depends on, yeah, it depends on what our outlook is on that game. Because if we're not coming out fully motivated like we have the past two games, Clemson will beat us. Like
Yeah.
they certainly have the talent to beat us. But if we play up to how we should be playing, then yeah, I'd say we come away with the dub.
I mean, Clemson's only loss is, and I didn't realize this. They played in respect to them for this. They played a true road game at Boise State. I thought it was an MTE type game, but it was at Boise. And they lost that game by 13. But I'm still trying to figure out how BPI has Clemson as the slightest of favorites in this game. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But I mean, they're a good team, especially the Chase Hunter with money, 47% from three, averaging like 17 a game. He's really tough. Yeah, I this Clemson game is going to tell us a lot because it's the first because Duke wasn't obviously a road game. It's the first true road game. It's going to be packed. How is Clemson's home court? Y'all know? I haven't really seen much of it. I'm sure it's fine.
I've heard it's a pretty good environment. I've heard it's loud. I've heard it's I don't know its capacity or whatever, but I've heard it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, I mean it's what day is that game? That's on the 3rd, 6:30. I mean, you win that game and then you've got Gonzaga after that and then don't we have like Colgate or something in between
Yes,
that
sir.
and
Toothpaste to you.
yeah.
Colgate, Louisville, and Brown, I think, are the either the
You
final
got
three or maybe three or four before we start SEC play.
How do y'all feel about those type of games like the I understand you don't I get there's a lot of reasons you play Western. There's a lot of reasons you play certain teams, but man, some of it, like just there's like no intrigue in some of these matchups, like at all. Like Colgate, why? I just don't. It just feels like a waste of the. I don't know. Like even throw in like a Big West team, that's a step up. Like that, it just feels so odd to play the bottom of the barrel teams.
Well,
I mean, everyone's doing it, but.
so we're a, go, going forward, starting next year through like 2028, I think we're under contract to replace one of those bye games with Indiana, which will help.
Okay.
I appreciate that we're doing this HBCU Unity series, but I'd like to see us replace this BBN Invitational, maybe keep Western, but for the MTE portion of our schedule, like maybe do a real MTE somewhere. I just don't know. I think so much of that is driven by wanting home ticket revenue. And I don't know that I see Mitch giving that up. I mean, I think that's a significant moneymaker for us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that results in some of these games where you sit there and aren't thrilled.
Well, and like I mean, every team plays bad teams. Like it's fine, but it just feels like a lot of. It's either like feast or famine. It's either a 300 KenPom team, or it's Duke, or Eason, or
Yeah.
Gonzaga, or it's Colgate. Like there's so many teams in between that. Even if you got rid of the, you want ticket sales, do a two game. Like host a two game like actual invitational where it's four teams and you play those two games and it's not I don't know Jackson State's fine the HBCU thing's fine but it's just atrocious teams that were that and at times like it just feels like there's a lot of them in a row and I'd love to have seen them in an MTE honestly I think that's what the irritant is like all these other teams kind of played some real we played Duke but you know Georgia State and Jackson State aren't really doing it for me.
It also stinks because, like, growing up, like Kentucky would play Maui, or we would play something like the Atlantis tournament that they had. We also played Indiana and Notre Dame, and you know some of these other more where Kentucky should win this game, but it's at least a bigger name sort of get you out of bed rather than some of these. I'd rather play like
I
mid
was
teams.
looking at it the other day, and you're allowed to play essentially 31 games over the season. And after you account for the SEC slate, Louisville, Indiana, Gonzaga, the Champions Classic and the CBS Classic, you're left with like seven to play around with. So if you get into an MTE that's either two games or three games, that's eating into like again half of your remaining options. And so then you have what, four games against bye teams. And this year, before the season, before I was I mean, I was bought in and I was excited, but I was thinking, like, with a team that needs to gel, maybe some of those will be good. But then, of course, we've gelled really quickly, and now I'm thinking, man, I wish we were, especially this week watching some of these MTEs, I was thinking, damn, I wish we were playing some of these high
Now,
caliber, really, really interesting teams.
I of course I know what MTE means and what it stands for, but I'm looking out for my buddy Caleb who may not know. So, do you think you guys could tell Caleb
Middle
what?
Tennessee. Middle Tennessee. I don't know.
The
Multi-team
multi, the
event.
multi-team.
Multi-team what?
Event.
So, if I'm being
Okay, you get that,
honest,
Caleb?
every game
Everything's
is
an
it every game in MTE?
Hey, the Big Blue Invitational, BBN Invitational, prove that it is just any game could be puttable. Is there a trophy for
BBL
that?
Invitational.
BBL Invitational would go hard. Do it in Toronto or something.
Miami.
You get Drake, Elon, and then get Trump University. And we
Ooh.
have the MAGA TE.
This might be the worst thing I've ever. Can continue.
That sounds like it would be
Would be
pretty
numbers.
good four team. It would do numbers. But yeah, I mean our ticket sales for home games surpasses the money we get from football ticket sales. So, and we're like one of the very few teams that it does. And I think that all of these bye games kind of help drive that.
But you could play a bye game against North Texas, or just because I'm off the
Yeah.
top of the dome, or Northern Iowa, or like not
Sure.
the worst teams in
Yeah.
Division One. That's what's crazy. Like when Pope was coach at UVU, he
Hey.
went and played at Duke and at Kentucky. You know, like even UVU, like it's just,
Yeah, but they
I
got
don't know.
paid to go there.
Yeah, so did Georgia State and all these other teams. But
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
like those
Well,
are bye games
UVU,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that is probably why we have bye games. I think that if we, I
I mean,
honestly,
make them
I
bye
trust
games,
that Pope is going
play.
to make the bye games more interesting going forward. I mean, I want to see Wichita State
Right,
or
right.
North Texas, like you're talking about. I think that'd be fun. UTEP
Truthfully, I
would be
would
cool.
say that he probably won't, honestly, because when he was at BYU, he made a real big point when they got into the Big 12 that they were going to basically play nobody in the preseason because the Big 12 is such a rigorous schedule. This is his words. I'm not saying he still feels this way, but so I could see him continuing to schedule like this. Maybe some more things for the fans to get excited about, I guess. But like the SEC looks like the real deal this year, so I could see that being kind of a flaw. And is it a full? Do you play everyone twice in the SEC, or how does that work? I forget, feign my ignorance here, but
Not
it's a okay. It's,
everybody. Not so
okay.
it's. I mean, I know we get Alabama twice this year. I think we get Auburn once.
Okay. Could
I
we
don't
get
know.
Tennessee
I
twice?
haven't looked into how they do the schedule since they've added Texas and Oklahoma. So I'm not sure. But
With
with the
both of
bye
those
games,
teams
there's
look
a
pretty
spectrum,
decent.
right? I mean, we were just talking maybe offline before we started recording about UConn.
Yeah.
And every team they've played is like 300 plus, and they're going to play Maryland Eastern Shore, who's 300 plus. And
Every team they've
like
beaten,
Bucknell
yeah.
and Lipscomb aren't great,
Western.
but they're certainly better than that, right?
Oh, yeah,
They could
Western's a
make the tourney
solid
this year.
mid-major team. If everybody was on Western's
Yeah,
level, I wouldn't be
right.
complaining as much, honestly. Like that would make a huge difference from Jackson State and Georgia State. Georgia State's really bad. Yeah, it just feels like not only is it like bye games, but it's like, damn, like that team for real? Okay, like at
At
least get
least
like
maybe
Mississippi
four
Valley
teams
State or
historical,
something.
so yeah, so or something historical, get UTEP and then make them wear their West Texas, whatever, when we were the bad guys in that Disney movie.
So anything about the Clemson game that you guys think, like, who do you think is going to stand out? Like, who are you thinking is going to have a big game? Do you see any struggles, any concerns?
I think that they'll be the experience will be the big key. I actually like I said, Clemson's the one I'm worried about more so. I mean, it's probably just because it's the next game,
And why,
but
though? Why does Clemson concern you
why
more than
it's a
Jackson?
true it's a it's the first true home game or road game. They've got guards that can shoot from three. Kentucky's been a little susceptible at times to the three, a la last night or 2 nights ago with Georgia State. I think that it's a good team. If you have a slow start on the road, it could spiral a little bit. However, I feel really good about it because our guard line's really tough, and I think that they'll Chase Hunter's not going to go off like he has at times. It'll be a good test, but I honestly think they win both games. But I think the first real road test, it should be packed based on. I mean, I don't know what we think Kentucky's going to be ranked come Monday, but it'll be higher than it is now. And I mean, you bring a top five, top 10 team into any arena, and it's going to be rocking for at least the first little bit, you know.
As we look at all these games and how even the scoring is, yesterday everybody had double digits except for the three freshmen who only played a couple minutes, and Kerr who had 9 and 4 assists. So it is so even. On any given night, one of those could be 20, all the rest could be 10, they could all be 15. I mean, it's really a multi-headed dragon. It's really got to be frustrating for other coaches to plan around.
I don't think that it's going to end up being the usual guys that you would think would take over a game, because what I think the most important thing is going to be the perimeter defense. And I think you see Lamont Butler kind of shut down what they try to do on offense. Because if Chase Hunter isn't hitting threes and they have to feed it inside to whoever they have as their guys in the post trying to score, I don't think it's going to really work rhythmically. So the perimeter defense, I think, is going to end up being the star, and I don't know what to expect exactly. All I know is we've been winning by 30 with two bad 3-point games in a row. All it takes is Kobe Brea going 7 for 9 again, which could happen, and especially in a hostile environment, to where the highest scorer, I think Jackson Robinson, could end up going off offensively. But defensively, I feel like we're going to get a lot of steals, and we're going to frustrate the heck out of their guards.
If we can get a lot of steals, that'll be a big deal. Even in their loss, they only had 8 turnovers to Boise. They got out rebounded and shot the three. They shot from the field like 36%, 25 from three, but they couldn't buy a bucket, and but they didn't turn it over. I mean, Hunter went off, so maybe, you know, I think the guard line defense is going to be the big thing, like you say. And I think, you know, you rebound the ball, take care of the ball. It's because it's so balanced, like you all have mentioned, like with the team. I don't know necessarily if it's ever going to be able to predict like who's going to lead in scoring, this, that, and the other. But I think the guard line play, the defense on the perimeter is going to be the big key for the, and then rebounding out of that, for me at least, that's what I would be looking for.
What I'm looking at is Kentucky actually has a player who was in the ACC last year.
Mr. Carr.
And last year he went 6 for 7 for 17 points against this Clemson team. He's a Tiger killer. WWF hates this guy.
Did they win?
They did.
Oh,
One
okay,
by
cool.
five. Pretty sure it was
Fair
at
enough.
Wake, though. So
Well,
ignore that, though, and only look at the positives. This looks really good.
I'm keeping an eye on the fact that Wake shoots almost 40% from three, and we're allowing about 25%. And we still, some of this may be the competition we've played, but we've allowed very, very few 3-pointers to go in. We were number one in the country in three defense until last night, when
Oh, wow.
Georgia State just went off. So to the extent that they get a lot of their points from three, I think it'll be interesting to see if we can keep our 3-point defense up.
I know you were making the points about Boise State, but Boise State doesn't have defenders like Lamont Butler and Oteka Owe guarding the perimeter.
They kind of do in a way. Cardenas is really, really good. Not to the same level. Don't get me wrong. You're right. There's no one in college that has that type of defensive guard line. But I'm saying Boise's one of their strengths is their guard line defense. And honestly, it was a huge game for Boise to host. Like, props to Clemson for playing that game. You don't see that very often. True road games by a P5 at a high mid-major. You know, like Mountain West is a pretty good mid-major league. And
We would never do that. So,
yeah,
yeah.
no, trust. Like, no one ever comes to Logan. And that USC did once, and they've never been back. But not yet. It doesn't happen.
Well, Eastern gave Clemson a game this year, so we have to redeem our brothers down south.
Let's see. Yeah, it was like a 13-point game, but again, yeah, it's interesting.
Clemson's ass. Yeah. There, I said it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being honest, I think we win by 18. And if Brandon Garrison plays some, I think Amari Williams gets to rest a little bit more.
Oh, man, I dread the day we lose a game.
Man, I love sewing. It's that reaping.
I think it's a 5-6 point win for Kentucky. And if I'm being honest with you, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it'll be the experience that wins out. But it's going to be it's not going to be easy. It's a good team. I mean, they haven't really played anybody.
They're a good team. That's why we only beat them by 18. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we usually win by 30, so 18. That's
maybe Western.
Yeah,
by
they're twice as yeah. good as.
That's a significant
twice
haircut.
As good as other. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'd be surprised if they go in and beat Clemson by 20 on the road. That'd be pretty impressive.
I think this is a round of 32 game, right? Like we've been playing a lot of round of 64 games recently.
Could be Sweet 16.
This is a round of 32 game. Maybe.
I'd say Sweet 16, especially with it being a low environment. I would say that this was the difficulty level of a Sweet 16 game.
I think it's going to be. Yeah, it'll be a battle for sure. I mean, according to y'all, it won't be, but like I could see it being tough. How'd they do?
That's pretty tough. Year? I mean, I thought we had a battle last night as well, but we only won by 29.
A literal physical battle.
Mm-hmm. Well, for 31 minutes, it was through 31 minutes is like an 8-point game. So I mean, you have that at Clemson, it's not going to turn into a 29-point win. I'll promise you that. Well, if it does, great, but I don't see that happening. Yeah.
I'd love it if it did.
Likewise, trust me, I would love it. I just don't. At some point, you're going to be in a tight game that's not Duke. You know, well, when you play some teams that are not just the teams we've been playing.
So we didn't talk about this. How about when the skirmish happened last night? Pope just walking out there and starts breaking it up. So awesome. But I guess you can do that when your coach is a giant. So
He a big dude, and I think he has a reputation enough with the refs of kind of being like, he's not Hurley, let's say that. And I think he kind of like, that's why there wasn't text flying for him too, because I think like you earn that, like your fault, you know what I mean? Like refs remember, they remember everything, bro, mostly bad, but I think he has a decent reputation with him because he does treat them well, and he has his players not. That was the first time I've seen anybody get mad at a ref on Kentucky's end this year, truly. I mean outside of fans, of course, but like player coach. That was about the first time I've seen him get real heated.
I feel like
he was pretty upset when Carr got thrown down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 That's his guy.
Mini-me.
So I'm assuming we're all taking the dub here. Let's, like in our Duke preview, should we take who our MVP is for the game? Who do you think's the standout guy? I will go first because he's the only one I did research on for this game. Give me Andrew Carr.
Andrew Carr, okay.
Big game for Andrew Carr. All reliable. Pope Jr., coach on the floor. He's gritty, real lunch pail type of guy. You'd love for him to date your daughter. First one in, last one out.
All right. Sneaky athletic. I got you.
Yep.
I think it's going to be somebody like Ansley Almanor, like coming in and like cracking a few big threes to break open a close game in the second half. Like somebody that, you know, I mean, you kind of did that yesterday a little bit. But I think it'll be something like that because it's always so balanced. I don't think we're going to, against our best win, one arguably what I think is one of our, you know, best players in Jackson had a point, you know. So it's really, he contributed in many other ways, don't get me wrong. But I'm thinking it's just to go outside the box. I think it'll be like a 5-6 point win, Ansley Almanor with the X factor. I don't know necessarily the best game, but I think he'll be the difference at a certain point.
When Ansley's open for three, I don't think there's a player on this team I'm more confident in that it's for sure going to go down. When he's wide open, that guy's not missing. I feel more confident when Ansley's open than I do even Kobe.
I agree. Yeah, honestly.
He also gets left open too much.
Yes.
like it's hilarious.
Right.
You guys did not watch any film.
I feel like Ansley is situationally open and Brea is open because like a play is drawn up for him and that's sort of different.
That's what I'm saying.
The ways they get open are pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about it before, the way he just sprints down the sideline, gets to the corner right away, and it often ends up in his hands kind of. He's good. He's good just in that role, immediately converting that to points.
I mean, off the bench, he had the highest plus minus of the whole. Well, Kobe, I guess, was a little higher, but he had a great game yesterday, or against Georgia State. You know, that's a good stat line.
I think Lamont Butler.
Lamont Butler. Okay.
I think defensively, he forces turnovers, but I also think that like he's just been getting more and more showcasey with his offensive skills, the last couple games, and this could be. I mean, he obviously thrives in high-stakes environments.
He does.
He's been doing national championship. I just really could see him not only defensively frustrating the hell out of the their guard play, but also offensively just breaking it open. And I don't think that they have, like – I don't think they have, like, big, strong dudes in the post. I think that he'll be able to get to the rim more. In this game, then people will expect, and I think he's gotten a lot more confident with that part of his game in the last couple of games. And this just seems like the perfect time to be the SEC Player of the Week type performance.
What about you, Ben? Well, who do you got as MVP?
I think it could be, I guess like Oue or Butler. I also think the defense is going to be huge in this, especially on Chase Hunter. Trying to shut him down, and I think all of our guys are really good. I think Amari was Evan Mia's number one projected defender at this point, but I think on that perimeter defense, Butler and Oue are hard to bet against.
Yeah,
it also feels like,
and especially in a team that gets so many of their points from the perimeter, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. It feels like a game where those two could be the MVPs of the game if the shot isn't falling, because with those two driving towards the basket, especially yesterday with Lamont, like he had a great game where he was just taking the man and driving to the basket and converting. Like when we weren't getting looks, you could just give it to Lamont.
That's exciting stuff too.
Be able to get your bucket. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Another bucket getter on the team, huh?
Another bucket getter. Who would have thought the guy who weird. Who only lost to UConn the past 2 years, and then
Seven
March.
UConn.
Yeah, yeah, he's good a boy. Stud.
All right, fellas, anything else basketball wise we want to talk about? Oh, I have one. Why was BG out yesterday? Did I miss
soreness?
That?
Precautionary
soreness
for soreness. It was just a vet rest day. You know, he's a sophomore. Okay. I think it was mostly we want to have him for Clemson.
Load management.
Yeah, and
probably
if
got
he
dinged
was
up in
already,
practice or something.
Mm-hmm, and if he was already playing sore, and you know, big man, maybe a little clumsy sometimes, playing sore, you're putting yourself at risk. We already beat him by 29.
Nothing to be concerned about all that much. Then he'll probably be good to go on Tuesday.
No, don't forget, Pope is basically a doctor.
So true. Before we move on, we do have a quick message from our sponsor. Coaches, it's been a rough season. The playbook didn't click, the boosters are restless, and the buyout is looming. When it's time to regroup or quietly ride off into the sunset, Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse is here for you. Sink your teeth into a perfectly cooked steak, sip on bourbon smoother than your excuses, and leave the losses behind. Whether you're impressing the AD with Wagyu or planning your next move over our legendary mac and cheese, Jeff Ruby's is the place where you can always win dinner. And for our loyal listeners, use promo code PONYUP when you book online for a free dessert. Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse, because even if you lose on the field, you always win at our table. Fellas, Kentucky lost to Louisville. I already know how we're feeling.
Exactly how I thought I'd feel. I mean, that was the exact game I thought we'd see. I'd throw a freshman quarterback. That was what it – I don't know how we expect, other than recent history, I don't know how anything else could have been expected out of that game. It could have been much worse, too.
It started off awful. Like immediately the tone was set, just ball ripped out of the hands, turnover. Got ugly in the first half. Second half started, gave me hope very briefly. Interception. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, I think it was kind of
bad. It remained bad. Mm-hmm. Those are my thoughts. Sorry,
got worse, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. It just felt like to me, with this, college football seasons are short. Your players are there for NIL. They're transferred in, whatever, whatever. It's like you can quickly lose a team, and this was a team that had checked out for about a month, it felt like. And if you, as a coach, can't get the Kentucky Wildcat football team up to play against Louisville, you're cooked.
I think they were plenty up for the game. It's just a bad football team, bro. That's a better – like, Louisville's just a better football team, like, through and through. They just
the
are.
Lines. We should not – like, we the beginning of the game, their defensive line was crushing our offensive line, and their offensive mm-hmm. line was crushing our defensive line. And the fact yeah. that we have as much talent on our defensive line, and they were still putting up, like, 8-9 yards a carry just over and over and over again – it's just like
maybe the talent's a little overrated.
I mean, we're still going to have a guy go in the first.
The results are the results. Vasquez Hunter, whatever, from Auburn ran for like 260 against this vaunted uh-huh. Kentucky D line. I'm tired of hearing about it, bro.
Georgia.
Like, Georgia Tech. I mean, like it's not. I don't think that the SEC is very good, honestly. I just think it was atrocious. Like the line play was bad. The play calling was bad. The decisions were bad. Like, I don't know how you – if you think Cutter is the future in any way, shape, or form, yes. How the hell you have him start this game is ridiculous. I said it last week. I said it for – there's no way.
That's what I'm
saying. Six for 15, two picks, got a concussion essentially, concussion protocol. That's your first start. Bruh, like, I know it can only go up from there, but, like, I don't know what in what universe
because
it was worth starting him in this game.
Only universe in which Mark Pope wasn't – being booed out of the stadium was if new
Stoops?
Quarterback.
Whoa!
Mark Stoops, my bad. All right, let's do a cut. The only universe in which Mark Stoops isn't booed out of the stadium is the one in which the freshman future of the franchise, whatever,
gets killed on live national TV.
Comes in and beats Louisville.
But it's never gonna happen. Like what?
Was the only dice roll he had, I think.
I think
very briefly there was a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there just
and
wasn't.
There was the opening kickoff.
Yeah, dog. They were 9 for 18 throwing the ball. They didn't even throw the ball they threw the ball for 130 yards. They just ran it down the Kentucky's throat. They were the better mm-hmm. team in every facet. It's not even. It should have been worse. It should have been
every
two
facet?
More touchdowns for huh?
Every facet, they're better than us in every facet. You think?
Name one that they weren't.
Well, they're horrible people.
I meant on the football field and then, like, the things, like, intangibly. So that's obvious.
Character.
That's clear.
Yeah. There's the word. That's
pretty debatable based on, like, how ass the discipline on this Kentucky team is, truthfully, and how they could, like show their faces after, like, dog. Like, I could go for another hour on how awful everything about this game was, and I watched every second of it, and
I can't believe you guys didn't watch every second of this game. I tried turning it off.
God forbid you have to watch your team, bro. Like, trust me, I watched Utah State give up 29 points in 8 minutes yesterday to lose that game. You can do this.
I know we're putting this on YouTube, but I can't compare it to this. So I think I would compare us all making each other watch that game as a unalive pact.
Mm-hmm.
That we all made with each other. Is essentially what it was.
Brutal.
I was for sure thought,
and there were other good games on, and I had to watch that. I didn't have multi-view.
I know people that went to the game were miserable, left at halftime, they were so miserable, went home, watched the game, and then turned it off. It wasn't even worth watching at home after having paid for tickets to this.
If you leave the stadium, you don't need to watch the rest of the game. Why are you watching the game? If you leave the stadium, don't turn it on. Just you've made your choice at that point. Just stop. You already left.
Just
hope. You were there.
Maybe.
Oh, to have
maybe
some hope in the stands. It's going to do you as much good as it is at home when you're pissing yourself off watching it on TV.
But then you at least don't have traffic.
Like, this is like this is the least surprising result of, like, the last, like, four games that they've had, and it was just not even as bad as it could. Like, their quarterback didn't even complete 10 passes, bro. Like,
yeah. I mean, there's no – I don't know. I am a football doomer. You can't make me doom basketball ever. But football, I just don't see us ever being competitive in the SEC. And I don't really see next year being any better or whatever. Like, I figure any bright spot we had this year is going to get paid more money to go play for Michigan next year or whatever.
I think that it's the opposite of that. I think next year will be far better. There's talks of a lot of funding, and it's going to be a whole roster turnover. It can't get worse than this, dog. 1-7 in the SEC and just got absolutely BF'd by Louisville on your home field. Like, how much worse can it get?
You could have not beat Ole Miss. Yeah.
Has gotten more – that is the worst result of the whole season because it's the only thing there is. It's the only thing to cling to. And if they didn't win that game, everything – I'm pretty sure you'd believe me when I said they're going to get beat by Louisville. Not that I want that to happen, but they got their asses kicked. It wasn't even competitive, dude. And now, like, you think Cutter's going to – like, you think he'll be back to play next year, get his head beaten in? No, they're going to recruit over him, bro. I promise you they are. They're not going to – he's not going to be the starter next year. You got your mind. There's no way. Like they're gonna go heavy in the portal. They have to. Like that. You think a kid that kid's gonna make enough improvement by next year to be competitive?
We've said that for years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of better quarterbacks than the guy who couldn't beat out Stetson Bennett. You know, that he could have got. I guess.
Think Brock's back next year? Because I don't think so.
Brock might not even be in the state of Kentucky. I don't even know if I saw him at the game, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that.
Do we know what the story was? Someone said Matt Jones had news that he announced he was holding back until after the game, which is an insane thing to announce. Just announce whatever.
Just don't
it is
say
after
anything.
The game.
Yeah.
But
Roman, an announcement of an announcement.
Right. Cool. But do we know what that is?
I heard rumors that Brock is going to retire from football. Man, I don't know if that's true or not. But
if I was to guess, we aren't going to get John Summerall.
No.
And because I mean, he played here. He played for a bad Kentucky program. Like, I don't know how much, I don't know how much homerism you get when that was
apparently he's a big homer.
Yeah. I mean, that would
people
be
have said he's a big homer. He views this as his mission to fix us.
He's not going to be the coach because Stoops will be the coach, but he would take the job.
It's just not going to work out. Timing.
You think so?
He's our Connor Stallion.
You might be the Connor Stallions. We'll see.
I'll get on the call. I'll do whatever.
I would literally do international war crimes to win a football national championship. But
this episode is going to be great.
You guys want to hear a fun quote?
How fun is it? Yeah.
Stoops post game. Everyone wants to replace me right now, but I'm not going anywhere. My butt will be in my office tomorrow. Anyone who wants me gone anywhere is wishful thinking. My butt is going to work. I'm sorry I disappointed folks, but I'm optimistic we will turn it around.
He'll be your coach next year. There's no doubt about it. Like, that's very clear.
It sounds like Michael Scott.
Did he say that?
That was
a real quote that you just read?
Yes, this is a real quote, unfortunately.
I will not resign. That wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The only threat that works is if they say, well, you're not getting any NIL.
But he'd be like, all right, cool. I got a built-in excuse. He's not good. There's no way you're getting him out of there without paying in that money.
Yeah,
bro.
He'll still be like, I need my check. Okay.
He's like, cool. All right, bet.
I mean,
so we got no players.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. Yeah, I would do the same exact thing.
No, this is the exact position besides, like, a couple, like, 8 tough days a year that you got to deal with losing. But, like, other than that, he's getting paid $9 million per loss, a million a loss. Whew, sheesh. Let's go.
He only spends, like, 1.5 at maybe Tuesdays.
Hell of a deal.
He probably spent $100,000 on a PR firm to draft up a statement like, how can I most effectively squash any hopes anyone has about hiring Summerall?
Yeah, I think his buyout
is
going to
get a job somewhere else, though. That's what's going to kill me, is he's going to get a job at, like...
I don't think it'll matter, honestly. Even if it's UNC, like, Kentucky offers, he'll come. I'm telling you, bro.
But what about Florida?
Florida? What do you mean? Napier's got them. He's got them playing,
well,
bro.
The issue we're gonna have with getting rid of Stoops is no one is gonna offer him $9 million. No one's gonna offer him enough money for it to be worth his while to go somewhere else.
Oh no, he's not leaving.
Like, even
fired,
if someone was willing to offer him a job, no one's gonna pay. We are paying him so much more than he's worth, and no one's gonna pay him anything close to that.
No, because there's only
like
8 coaches in America
getting paid
close
that.
To that.
Do we have access to his dirty secrets? Because that's
did
always
he
an option.
Steaks and.
Mm-hmm.
hate to tell you about Lane Kiffin, but we'll get that sometime. You're stuck with him. But I think, like, also too, like, it's the first real success Kentucky's had, like, over the course of the decade. Like, that, like, paying him that, like paying him $9 million is crazy work, though. That, you're right. Mitch does need to. Dude, I mean, imagine if
Mitch
he didn't
got,
have,
yeah, oh, right.
Mitch has got until the. Mitch has got until the FBI report comes out for the swimming stuff.
So he's going to be fine because nobody cares about swimming, apparently, because that story was huge and then it was nothing. And
yeah, all it takes is one New York Times article before he bows out.
Been there.
Okay, so not great in football? The good news is that it was over. But
yeah,
it's just coming right back again next year. So, yeah, just super depressing.
And it sucks that Louisville's got those two running backs that are both true freshmen because they're real good. And I don't know, man. I hate how bad that was. I thought it was going to be a close game at least, or at least like closer, and it just wasn't.
My main concern isn't even like how good Louisville was or anything like that. I do not care.
I only care for comparison's sake to how far Kentucky's down, but go ahead.
Right. But as long as I just want us to get right, and then I think the Louisville game will sort itself out because it always has in the past.
It felt like there was that major difference in just even honestly like the trenches in talent. Like it felt that wasn't even competitive. It wasn't like a fluke either. They didn't play that good, and they just whooped that ass like all the whole game. That's what's weird. Like, I don't know, like, we talk about fight and stuff like that. Well, they were shoving and put. They had some fight in them. I mean, it's embarrassing to get your ass kicked by your rival at home at noon. You know, that's got in 30-degree weather. That's not fun.
Not my favorite Saturday.
No. It's
Well, give me chaos now. That's all I really care about at this point. And we're already seeing some of that today. I think we got a few more possibilities for more chaos. I want everybody to be mad. That's my goal.
Give me a Boise Natty.
Yes. Boise, I want to see Boise versus Oregon rematch.
That's what yes. Thank you. Exactly. That's what we need. We don't need three lost SEC teams getting in. And it's gonna,
we don't need Georgia getting in. Georgia damn near lost to the Kentucky Wildcats.
If I ever hear the statement that they went, dude, I swear I could lose my mind on that. That call was unbelievably annoying last night. Joe Tessitore needs to stop with the,
My strongest football take at this point is that they just ruined overtime.
Yeah.
Anything over double overtime now, just do a coin flip. If it's going to be just alternating 2-point conversion attempts.
And walking
it is,
up and down and up and down.
I've forever been a huge drum beater for the fact that college overtime is better than NFL overtime. I still think it is, maybe, but I like the rule where you eventually have to go for two after a touchdown, but play by normal overtime rules. There's no need to just do 2-point conversions. It's boring. It extends the game even longer. Like if they were concerned about duration, because
mostly
you actually
player safety
stop
and the
them,
amount of
whereas
stress.
And then yeah, but man, dude, it is just painful to watch this. I no longer like overtime after the second.
It felt like match point in tennis, like overnight. Like it was like, and it, honestly, like why is Georgia like the fact that they're a shoe-in is a little crazy to me with that win. If they get blasted in the championship game, why are they guaranteed to get in? Anybody? I mean, they've looked bad at times. They've looked like really flawed. I mean, a lot of teams have, I guess, but like
because they already beat Texas, right?
Well,
and they're gonna play Texas probably.
Well, the reason that they'll be in with a win is because everyone said, well, we want to allow 12 teams in. And they haven't done enough not to be one of the 12 best teams, I don't think. Are they great? No. Are they a championship team? Not in my mind. Are they one of the best 12? Probably. And
the best 12
that is one of the reasons I didn't like expanding to Yeah, well, that's always going to be an argument.
Like the four was already too big.
That's what.
See, I don't agree with that at all.
Allowing teams like, or allowing 12 teams to be involved is how you get teams like this to have a chance. That was always going to be the outcome here. And it was one of the reasons I didn't like expanding to 12.
Spoken like a true Blue Blood fan. Privileged Alabama guy talking.
Yeah, neither Georgia nor Alabama need to sniff these playoffs. Let's see here. Okay. I mean, just two. I don't know. I don't think that. I think it's a good year to have 12 though, because who's the best team? Who would you? The BCS would have Oregon. Who they would have Oregon and.
It would have been Ohio State, but.
It would have been Ohio State, but it'll be Texas essentially, right? Yeah. And I don't think either of those two teams you can say, like, Oregon hasn't lost, so you know, to them, you know, I get that, but I think 12 team playoff this year is the worst year to argue against it. Because most years the BCS even got it right with the best two teams, but this year I really don't have a clue. Because the SEC is definitely like topsy turvy with everyone but one team having at least two losses.
From that perspective, I agree with you. But then when people say, "Well, why does Georgia get in?" and it's like, "Well, because we expanded it to 12. If we still had four, they wouldn't have a chance at getting in." You know, so
I just think they've looked bad. I agree with you, but like, I think that there's other teams that should get in over them, like just based on the fact that they went to 9 overtimes with Georgia Tech at home after making the biggest fuss all week, the last 2 weeks, about how what would our record be in the ACC? Damn, probably not very good based on last night. That was a home game against a mid-ACC team.
I don't like expanding the playoffs simply that by the fact that it looks like Tennessee is going to make the playoffs. And yeah,
exactly. And it like 4 years ago, it would have been really good for Kentucky. Not anymore. So now it's like, and also like, what happened to all these awesome New Year's Six ball games? Now all those games are just useless.
Well, they're still part of the playoff.
Yeah, no, but it's still like, it's not the same though.
I mean, do you want BYU to win another Natty in the Holiday Bowl against 6-5 Michigan? So we can go back to that
care.
Too. I mean, that's
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
well,
I think
should.
That there's too many. There's the league is too big to crown a specific national champion. Maybe we could be more intelligent about the way that we do this. Just,
do you think that on basketball too? Because there's three times the amount of basketball teams.
Well, but you can play a 64 team tournament. You can't do that in football.
I mean, they do 32 in the league, well, in FCS, but sure. I mean, I guess. I don't
see
like
Halo talking about commie ball, and I'm completely against that.
I
just like the old school regional, college football back to its regional roots.
So, to where we don't have any, like, true
Caleb
champions
wants the,
crowning at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Caleb wants
or
the
just
paper
have people,
to crown the champion.
Just, exactly. Exactly. That's the best. Playing
so, give
national
it
a, titles. That's college football right there.
It's one of the worst parts of college football, and everyone seemed to hate it when anyone – but you loved it when UCF did it, I guess, then, yeah?
Yeah, I love that shit.
Okay, good. Good. Me too, actually. And I think Utah has one in 08, and I think that, Boise has one in 06, 07, if you want to go down that route. But the fact that those teams didn't get a play for a title is the reason I think you should have a 12 team, because teams
Kentucky
like Boise –
has one of those as well.
What, a claim natty?
Yeah. Us and Oklahoma, I believe, disputing it. The Caleb Seymour Bowl.
Yep, Caleb Seymour Bowl. Big time. Cream. Crimson and cream.
So if you don't think 12 is good, what do you think it should be then? You want to go back to 4?
No, 4 was bad. I think 2.
Two? That's
I
such a four.
I like 4 with BCS calculations.
Give me 3.
I think, or you make 4 power conferences and you have a power conference national champion. I don't care.
Or we just stop with all this
horseshit
realignment.
I think 8 is better than 12.
Why?
12 is just gives.
Well, for one,
gives the
I don't
teams
like the buys. I
a
think
chance
the buy
to lose
is such a
in
huge
the regular season. Yeah, it's all about money. Yeah.
Yep.
But
Disney
like,
football now.
There's more than half the team. Like, look, I understand you guys in the SEC, you don't give a shit about other, like, smaller conferences and stuff. But the fact that there was no access before, like, Cincinnati almost got left out for Notre Dame, a team in which they beat at Notre Dame and went undefeated that year. And they still damn near got left out before they got in the Big 12. And to have, like, the access, like, I feel like either give the conference champions access, like, the fact that there's – it's one G5 spot, but we can throw in fucking three lost SEC teams. And, you know, I just feel like there has to be some sort of balance. They're never going to let the SEC not have their teams in. So, like, I think 12 is necessary to even get at Boise State in. Like, Memphis didn't even be considered at 10-2, and they just beat Tulane. They're not even on the radar, you know. And that, I mean, that's a little crazy. Like, to me, there's no access at all. Like, just have two different leagues at that point. Like, go ahead. It might as well be if you want to cut it down from 12. This is the first time. Feel free. Have the NFL light. You're gonna hate it, but, you know.
No, cut down the leagues, but then have, you know, let the SEC and Big Ten do their soulless bullshit, and then let the rest of college football go back to the old school of good college football.
You wouldn't have to play any ACC teams anymore, I guess. That would be all right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, at this point, it lets teams lose to – people would have argued that Georgia should – if they would have lost last night, there still would have been people on ESPN holding Georgia's water. And it's because they're 12 teams.
Yeah.
Because if you were to take and make a simulation based off Vegas odds, they would be one of the top 12 teams. And that's always going to be the argument. And
then why even play the games? Truthfully, just, even, just give me the numbers at the beginning of the year.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Why are we letting this team who lost games –
I'm being facetious. I'm saying, like they're one of...
So, one thing I think is kind of interesting is, like, if you look at KenPom, right? KenPom keeps, for stability, I mean, he's checked back and determined that his rankings are better if he keeps his preseason on data projections in until, like, through 27 games. And obviously, you don't have that much time. Yeah, right. And it doesn't stay – I mean, the weight of that data decreases with each game. So, right. So it like, gets phased out. But in football, you don't have that sample size. You don't have that many games. So I'd be curious to see, to the extent that a lot of these computer metrics do account for some of that preseason data, blue chip ratio, roster makeup, how long does that stay in? How long should that stay in? Yeah, and so I think that's an interesting discussion, given that you're limited to like a 12 or 13 game season before you have to evaluate them and decide what bowl you send them to. Do they compete for a championship, et cetera?
It's crazy because these teams are different, so different at the end of the year. A good win at the early part of the year is going to look worse against Kentucky or whoever has half of their team check out, taking texts from NIL from other schools. It's like, how do you even evaluate how good a win is? It's like, all this shit is just trash at this point.
You play the games. That's how you do it. You play the games. That's why you
but
have
you don't
a
get to play all the games because there's
but
not.
You play enough of them. I mean, even at 64, you can argue for 68. At 68, you can argue for 96. We can do this all day. My point is you can't just cut it down to two because it's not going to – like, I think that to have access for it, like, you play the games. Like, it doesn't – I don't give a shit if they're – By the computer ranking, they're one of the top 12 teams. They looked terrible last night. It's frustrating that if they were to go and get, like, there's no way, no matter what they do in the SEC title game, they're not getting in. They get their asses handed to them. They shouldn't get in. Like, it should matter, like, how you, because at that point, it doesn't matter at all. Like, why even go play the other? Just give it to
because they already beat Texas.
Right. So why even show up? They already beat them once. Like,
no, shoot. That's what I'm saying is if they get their ass handed to them, everybody's gonna be like, oh, well, really, they only lost two teams this year, right? Like, even though they have three losses, whatever.
There's no way Georgia is going to win the Natty. Do you guys see them at all having a chance at that? I don't see
yes,
it. They're quarterback, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I would be stunned if they.
They have a ridiculous amount of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, they were had a miraculous.
You'd really
comeback
be shocked
yesterday.
If they like beat Oregon.
This Georgia team, yeah. Truthfully, I think I think their quarterback's bad. I think he makes bad decisions. He turns the ball over a lot. They find themselves in deep holes, and they had to, you know, pause. But they had to come back against a mediocre Tech team at home. They were in a ball game with UMass last week for a good two and quarters. They were in a real tight one with 10. I mean, they haven't been dominant. They should have lost to Kentucky, number one. So would I be surprised if they beat the only undefeated team in the country? Yeah, a little bit.
This Georgia Tech game holds no weight with me of whether they're
okay. Take it off the take.
You can
take
throw
it
out
off
the
what about
throw
the
out the
UMass
record
one,
when two rival teams play each other. Just thought of that, but
wait, say again.
The two rivals
today. I agree. We should
just throw out the
we should not rivalry games just don't count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That saying's mostly beforehand when it's like, oh, it doesn't matter if one team. It's like Michigan's a good example of that. Kentucky would have been had they won that game, but that game went exactly how the record said they would go. They got their asses handed to them by a better team, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't canon.
Elaborate.
It's made up.
We're
it's
not
like an
going
exhibition
to a bowl game anyways, so it didn't really matter.
Right. I mean, it's not like it was the only thing you had left to play for or anything. So.
It was a nice scrimmage, I guess. I don't really think we were trying.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it.
It would surprise me more if ever Georgia, Alabama, LSU, A&M, Texas are more than 8-point dogs in any playoff game than it would be for me to see them be more than
breaking news
the other way.
Breaking news, fellas. We're breaking news here on the Catechin that we're hearing from other sources that are larger than us.
Per source.
Kentucky defensive coordinator Brad White is leaving for Florida State.
Is this what Matt Jones is holding back?
Wait, is it his?
That's the one.
As a head coach?
No.
Probably their DC.
Mm.
Wait. Okay.
Not the coordinator I would have wanted to lose, but.
What if he becomes the head coach and then he takes Mark Stoops to be the defensive coordinator?
Maybe, yeah.
One can dream.
They're going to pay him $9 million as a defensive coordinator?
No, but they did get Chip Kelly to leave to Ohio State just to lose to Michigan again. So you can always dream. They got him to take a $3 million pay cut to be an OC. So.
Well, fellas, if we don't want to do any more arguing about the college football playoff structure,
I don't have anymore.
I don't have anything else. And see everybody on Tuesday.
Yep.
See you next Tuesday.
It's Jared, Caleb, Braden, and Ben. Thank you for joining the Catechin. And go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.